And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, your host today, a homeschool father of five. And we raise our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, hopefully with a vision for the kingdom of God. It's so important that our children understand it's not about getting out there and making a bunch of money and dying with most toys. That's not the reason we're homeschooling. That's not the reason why we're discipling our children. We're discipling them, hopefully, for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We want to put that first. And, of course, we trust that God will add everything else to us and God provides for us, as we read in Matthew 6:33. That's sort of the vision. That's the overarching vision for raising our children. And I was raised on the mission field in Japan back in the 1960s and 1970s, and certainly got that message from my parents who were homeschooling us but way, way back then. But we're just continuing this, and as long as God has us here, we do want to see the kingdom of God extended. And that can happen a lot of different ways. It can happen geographically. It can happen institutionally, where we're working on some aspect of the kingdom of God, whether it be at the San Antonio Film Festival, or whether it be in politics or in business. Everybody has a role in the kingdom of God, and hopefully bringing God's principles to bear wherever we happen to be. And we also, we don't want to ignore the generational aspect of the kingdom of God. Certainly there are moms out there raising the next generation for the kingdom of God. And that's a very, very important aspect of the kingdom as well, because otherwise, if that doesn't happen, well, the kingdom just kind of fizzles out. And we don't get an extension of the kingdom of God into future generations. And so that's why we want to get back to the kingdom of God as essential again and again. And we want to express that as important and undergirding everything we do on the program. Well, today we have a very special guest. Dr. John Washburn is with us, and he is the son of an old friend of this program, Marcia Washburn, who's been a homeschool teacher and an example and leader in Colorado for a long, long, long time, probably some 30 years. She's been ministering to many, many families, tens of thousands of families in the state of Colorado and elsewhere, concerning the importance of homeschooling and the methodology of home education. But John was the son of Marcia, and she had, I think, five boys. Is that right, John?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. And John, you were raised out here.
Yeah. So I was raised in Brush, Colorado. I grew up on a hog farm with my four other brothers. And
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize you had a hog farm.
Yeah. We had as many as 150 pigs at a time.
Isn't that something? Wow. Yep. What a great opportunity. Huh?
Absolutely. It was a really good opportunity to learn more about taking care of the things that God's given us just to learn that responsibility as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And you graduated from your home school, moved on to other things, and eventually wound up in medical school.
That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Went to medical school at Ross University in the Caribbean. Then did all my rotations here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. That's great. Now, your focus on medical, was that all the way back, or is that something that came over time?
Yeah, that stems all the way back to taking care of pigs. I would sit out in the barn and just watch the pigs deliver and make sure that they were all coming out fine. And that was probably one of my favorite things.
And you enjoyed that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't say that I would enjoy it, but it is a marvelous thing, isn't it, to see what God has done?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's just a miracle every time, just to all the things that have to go right in order for a little baby, whether it's a pig or a human, really to be born. So
now your focus right now, your direction right now is the mission field.
Yes, that's correct.
Right.
Yep. So my wife and two kids and I, and a third one's on the way, are going to be moving out to Peru to work at a mission hospital there.
Wow. And it's so medical missions. I mean, that's a great idea. And we want to talk about that today on the program. I think there may be others out there, other young people who may have a vision for medical missions. And there are various ways in which they can get involved in that. But there is a crying need, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And there's a need for the gospel all over the world. And I remember when I was homeschooled, I was learning about the 1040 window and all the people in that area that couldn't hear the gospel, and then learning that you could use medicine to reach those people. Mm-hmm. And even though we're not going to the 1040 window, that was kind of one of the things that in my mind, helped me to see that we could meet people's spiritual needs after meeting their physical needs.
And if you think about it, John, in the history of missions, in the history of the kingdom of Jesus Christ has moved through all these continents, almost without exception, you have medical care as all part of the package.
Absolutely.
Go all the way back to Jesus. I mean, Jesus is here. He's preaching a message, but what's he doing?
Healing the sick.
He's healing the sick, yeah.
Right.
He's dealing with the physical needs as well as the spiritual needs at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. I mean, it's important to Jesus, And it's still important to this day. Now, eventually, in some of these nations, we've handed over medical care to socialist agencies and such, and largely humanist agencies.
Right.
But that wasn't the way it always was. In fact, if you look at the hospitals across America today, many of them, if not most of them, have Christian names. You know, they have the Baptist hospitals, the Adventist hospital, mm-hmm. the, you know, Presbyterian hospital. You have all these hospitals that really had their roots in Christian churches.
That's right. Yep. And really, when you look at a person, if you ignore one part of who they are, then it's going to be hard to really minister to them. So if you say, mm-hmm. I'm only going to minister to your spiritual needs without your physical needs as well, you're ignoring a whole big piece.
Well,
of
you're ignoring
are.
Something that Jesus thought was important exactly. himself. Right. right. And so, you know, as you minister to them with the word, you also want to minister to their medical needs. And was that your vision from even before you got into college and then off to medical school?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that actually pushed me into it was back in college in 2003, I was able to spend a summer in the mountains of Peru in Huaraz. There, I stayed at a Wycliffe Bible Translating Center and helped at an orphanage as well as a feeding program through a church.
Okay.
Yep.
So you had opportunities before. And there's something to be said for these little mission trips.
Exactly.
And I know some of the people are saying, well, mission trips aren't the best thing. They don't always accomplish all that much. But there are purposes. There are reasons why you might get a young person out to the mission field with his family or with a pastor or with a small group. They may find that this is God's calling on their lives.
Absolutely. And if you look at most people that end up going to missions that long term, the vast majority of them have done a number of different short-term trips first.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So while you were out there, you had more of an interest. I mean, it wasn't turning you off of missions. You were more interested than ever in seeking involvement in missions.
Absolutely. You know, and also it really helped to teach me about other cultures and things like that as well, too, to get me out of my own little circle and see that there were other people that God had created, and that he loved them just as much.
Boy, there's something spiritually strengthening when you get out there and you help others. It gets you out of this self-orientation that you find yourself in here in America sometimes. Mm-hmm. It wakes you up to the fact that you have something to give others, and why not get out there and start giving others some of these things?
That's right. It takes the focus off of yourself.
Yeah, it does. It does. And is that your vision for your little family here?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'd love for my kids to grow up seeing other people and seeing their needs over their own and mm-hmm. to be able to say, hey, look, I've got a toy. Let me share that with you.
Right. Now, you're heading off to Peru, and this isn't exactly a town where there are towering hospitals run by large socialist governments. These people need help.
Absolutely. Yeah. In the area that we're going to, people will come in from 10 to 15 hours away or more just to get medical care. And many of them have never seen a doctor before in their life. Mm-hmm. So at this hospital, I was actually able to work there for a month last year.
Okay.
And during that time, I'd say about 30 to 40% of my patients came from the jungle, which is about 15 hours away.
Wow. Meaning that they walked for days to get there.
Well,
or
yeah,
crawled.
They would, right. They would walk for days to get to the major road where uh-huh. they would then catch a bus to get to the hospital.
Okay.
A bus or a taxi.
Okay. Yeah. And what sort of shape were they in by the time they got there to the hospital?
All kinds of shape. So sometimes it was just minor things, but frequently you would see diseases in their end stages. Tumors that were just gigantic or, uh-huh. you know, tuberculosis or giant cysts, things like that. Uh-huh. It was just amazing.
Oh, boy. Could you help them?
Yes, actually. I'll tell you a quick story.
Okay.
I had a lady who came in her 50s, mm-hmm. and she was in a wheelchair. Well, and certainly you think about somebody up in the mountains, it's going to be difficult to get around in a wheelchair very well. So she came in with her sons, and her sons had been carrying her around everywhere because she was in so much pain. Her joints hurt, her muscles hurt, all over, everything just hurt. And she had been a person that was taking care of the home for about 8 months previous to that, and then all of a sudden just went downhill quickly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so when she came in, we had all the labs, we had all the medicines and everything, and we were able to diagnose her with rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, yes.
Started her on medications, and then only a few days later, she was already in such better shape. She, you know, her sons were just amazed that she wasn't in pain anymore.
Wow, that's great.
And it was really, really cool to see.
That's wonderful. And the guy with the broken arm, tell us about the guy with the broken arm.
Absolutely. So, so this was actually back in 2003.
Okay.
And this is one of the things that helped push me on. So, I joined up with a medical team that came through and was helping to translate for them. And, up in this very remote village, there were already hundreds of people lined up. So, everybody was triaged and had their complaint put on a piece of paper. Uh-huh. On this guy's piece of paper, it's a broken arm. Uh-huh. So I said, okay, so let's see your broken arm. So as he rolled up his sleeve, when he bent his arm, the bone, his humerus, the bone would go one way on the bottom and the other way on the top.
Oh boy. Through the skin, you could see it.
Well, yeah. So it was all contained within the skin. So the skin hadn't been broken, but the bone was obviously broken.
Completely disconnected.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And he said, yeah, it's hard to carry buckets like this.
I'm sure it was very hard, very difficult. Yeah. You'd probably have to use your other arm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And so, I asked him, I said, well, how long ago did this happen? And he said, it's been about 2 years ago now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh boy. And he had no medical care for 2 years.
Absolutely. Incredible. Yeah. And so I asked him, I said, well, why didn't you come in sooner? And he said, well, I walked 2 days to get here and usually there's no medical care here.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And unfortunately, we weren't set up at that time to do surgery. And so we had to send him away. Uh-huh. So that really broke my heart and made me realize how much need there is.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that pushed me through medical school to go back and serve in a hospital like this one.
Right. Okay. And your desire is to get out there and work full time for the next
3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. What a blessing you will be to many, many people. But John, how do you somebody become a medical doctor or get into medical missions? This is difficult to do, and it costs money to get through medical school.
Absolutely. Yeah, the cost is certainly very much. And so in order to pay for your loans, it's going to take a number of years to pay those off.
Right.
So in order for us to go, we've actually been very blessed to have an organization called Project MedSend, who has partnered with us, and what they are doing is they will actually be making payments on my loans while I'm overseas.
That's great. What a great concept. In other words, they're there to help get these doctors through medical school and get them out into the medical field and work in medical missions. And they will contribute to paying off some of those loans in the process.
Exactly, because many doctors desire to go work overseas, but by the time they pay off their loans, they're already established in a practice. And then all of a sudden that just doesn't happen.
Right, right. So, and I'm sure there's a crying need for more medical missions out there.
All the time.
The idea, of course, is to work side by side with the missionaries and those that are getting the gospel out. How do you think you can integrate the message and the mission, or the medical mission? How's that integrated? Any thoughts on that? I realize you're not quite out there yet. You've got to get your feet wet, but how would you integrate that?
Right. So, so the way that they're doing it at the hospital right now is that every patient that comes in, there's a service for them from 8:30 to 9. So every patient gets to hear a service.
Okay.
On top of that, there's a Jesus film also plays in their own language in the waiting room.
Okay.
But then besides that too, it's just talking with patients and listening to them
and
sitting down and hearing their story. And then what we'd like to do too is with all the patients that are hospitalized, we'd like to really start up relationships, meet with people from our church, and take them down and show them how to share the gospel and to really just form those relationships with the patients.
Yeah.
So, it's really amazing to see how many people will come to the Lord just when their physical needs are met.
Yeah. And there's opportunity to establish relationships during some of these times of suffering, maybe the very best time to establish a relationship. And as you know, without a relationship, oftentimes it's very hard to bring somebody to the Lord, to a relationship with the Lord. And so, you know, relational discipleship, I think, is really, really key, not just here, but everywhere around the world. And hopefully there will be opportunities to do that in the years to come.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we'd also like to partner with some of the other members of our church in Peru so that we can teach them how to do that as well. So even if we end up coming back to the U.S. after 3 years, they'll be able to carry that on after we leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, John, any advice to young people interested in medical missions or medical work? Maybe you're talking to a 15, 16, 17-year-old young man, young woman who's interested in some of this stuff. Any thoughts you could share with them?
Well, first of all, make sure that medicine is where God's called you. It's certainly a great field, and you can meet a lot of needs that way, but that's not where God's called you to. It's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
And so, but then even after that, you know, if you're thinking about doing missions and medical work, it is a great calling. And to be quite honest, if that's where God's got you called, go for it.
Mm-hmm. How do they get through school? that's got to be a hard one, right? Because
right.
The fair amount of requirements.
Yes.
And it is important to learn some things.
Absolutely.
And to spend the time and the resources to make that happen.
It's just lots of studying. You know, mm-hmm. when you're going through it, just really buckle down and mm-hmm. say, this is my job now. This is mm-hmm. what God's called me to do. And just really focusing on that. But yeah, it's a lot of work. I remember, even though I lived in the Caribbean, every day I would go to class at 8 and I wouldn't come home until 10 o'clock that night every single day. And then I'd take a little extra time on Sundays. But
why'd you go to the Caribbean? Is it just cheaper down there? Or?
Well, actually, quite honestly, mm-hmm. My grades and my MCAT score weren't good enough to get into the U.S. schools.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yep. And
okay.
So it was kind of funny because I thought, well, Lord, is this not what you want for me?
Uh-huh.
And then as I was going through things, I realized that is what God wanted me uh-huh. for me. And so right. when I applied to school at Ross, after going through it, I found that that's exactly what I needed. If right. I would have been, you know, here in Colorado, whereas distracted by friends or mm-hmm. by Crystal or things like that,
yeah.
you know, it would have been a lot harder to get through and learn what I need to learn. So.
Okay. So it actually was better for you.
Exactly. Yep.
To take the classes down the Caribbean.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Medicine, Project Medicine, you just mentioned it. Is it just for doctors or is it also for others, nurse practitioners, others who may want to get involved in medical missions?
Yeah. So they do accept people from their nurse practitioners, PAs,
okay.
As well. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's all through an application process and it's mm-hmm. pretty rigorous. So they want to make sure that they actually go over all of your finances over the last number of years, mm-hmm. all the loans that you took out, to make sure that you've been wise with your loans so that you haven't just been taking out huge amounts and spending them on.
Would you recommend that people spend time on the mission field?
Absolutely.
You know, and do some of these mission trips. And what kind of mission trips do you think are the most effective?
I would say the most effective trips would be ones that are probably the longer, the better.
I think so.
The longer you're there, the more efficient you are with your, mm-hmm. with your finances and you're able to build those relationships better.
Exactly.
So, but there are multiple different fields that you can work in. And so, you know, it's just finding one that in your area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've had people in our church, young people in our church, who've been out in the mission field for 6 months at a time.
Yes.
We've had some that have gone for 2 weeks and some that have gone for 6 months. In fact, one young lady who was out helping a missionary family homeschool their kids and do other things out in Uganda for the last 6 months, she just gave a presentation about 2 weeks ago. Very, very effective. You know, it was a very good time. Because over 6 months, you get an opportunity to learn the language a little more, mm-hmm. interact with people, build the relationships, and suffer.
Exactly.
And I think a little suffering, if you go beyond the 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks, you're not suffering as much.
Right.
But you're hitting a couple of months at a time, you're learning what it's like. And you're really, you know, learning how to not live in the cushy, air-conditioned lifestyle in the United States
right.
when you're on the mission field.
You're really starting to walk in their shoes and
yeah.
see what it's really like to be mm-hmm. those people that you're going to serve.
So. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I know you haven't done a lot of medical missions to this point, but what do you think will be some of the hardships and some of the difficulties that you'll face? I mean, I'm guessing you can't be quite as specialized on the mission field as you are in some hospital here in the United States.
Exactly. Yeah. So currently at the hospital that we're going to, there's pediatricians that are seeing adults, you know, there's urologists that are seeing people with heart failure because there just aren't enough. There aren't family practice or internal medicine doctors there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so you do have to
be kind of the really MacGyver expand. Of medicine.
Exactly.
You kind of have to just figure it out, make it happen, make right. it work,
Learn how to read a book.
Yeah. And hopefully they have internet where you can look up something. I've never seen that before. Let me get a little pick of this, you know, and see if anybody else has ever confronted this anywhere else in the known world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I actually did that a number of times while I was over there.
Yeah, exactly. Have internet, we'll travel.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Like I had a gentleman who came with a hydatid cyst. It was a cyst that covered approximately half of his chest.
Oh man.
Yeah. So it was, you know, collapsing his lung and putting pressure on his heart. And so,
right.
Yeah. I was doing a lot of reading.
Tough stuff. I mean, this is going to be a challenge. You're going to be saving lives.
Yes. Well, but really through God's grace.
Amen. So, amen. John, how did you find out about this hospital out in Peru? And where is it in Peru?
Yeah, it's in Curahuasi, Peru.
Okay, which is
near Cusco, which is also nearby Machu Picchu.
Okay, down towards the south side.
Southern Peru, yep.
Okay.
And up in the mountains about 9,000 feet.
All right, but how'd you run into these guys?
So actually, we found out about this hospital through the Global Missions Health Conference in Kentucky. It's held every year in November, I believe.
So anybody really interested in global missions, medical missions, can go to this conference and find out all sorts of things about how to minister in medical missions.
Oh, absolutely. And there's all types of booths set up from organizations from all over the world and, for people that want to work in any area really at all.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Great resource. Yep.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you tie in the spiritual aspect? I mean, you know, sometimes medical work is highly, you know, naturalistic, materialistic, push this button, this will happen, you know, give them this medicine and you'll clear this up. We get in this idea that somehow, you know, we can just be good scientists and solve all problems. But, you know, as a Christian, obviously you don't take on that worldview. You understand that, you know, God is still involved. There's got to be some supernatural healing going on in the process. I guess I'm asking, how do you relate the supernatural aspect and prayer in all of this? Probably not taught in your typical medical school, but I think it shows up in James chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So it certainly didn't show up in my medical school,
right?
But in my residency, it did. I was fortunate enough to have really some great attendings that were Christian men, and they actually taught me how to pray with my patients.
Praise God.
And so I find that you can give medicines and you can do treatments that help with a lot of their patients, but there are many times when they're just not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, praying with your patients and helping them to see that, you know, God is in control and that he can heal them.
Right.
It's important.
It is. And it's really, I think our first line of attack, at least according to James 5, we call the elders, pray, and then apply the ointments. I think it is important to bring in the medicine, but boy, without God working through these means to bring about the healing and our faith that God is the one who does the healing and brings about the success in our work and our ministries, we're just not acting like Christians.
Right,
We just have to bring that into play. And I think prayer is really, really, really key.
Absolutely. Yeah, and quite honestly, you know, if I can't heal them physically, more importantly, I just hope that they get healed spiritually.
That's right.
Because that's really what matters in the long term.
Amen.
We're all going to die someday.
That's right. That's right. John, before we're done, how can we help you? How can the listening audience help you? I know that you're raising support to get out there on the mission field to do this work for the next 3 years. How can others who can't get out there on the mission field themselves, but they want to be involved in kingdom work at this level, how do they help you?
Right. So we absolutely can't go without support. And so those that support us are essentially doing the work through us as well. And so the majority of our supports come in with people that say, hey, I want to give $25 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever God leads them to. And that's been how our supports come in. And so people can just go on to www.simusa.org/give. And from there, they can just type in our name, John Washburn, that's with an H, or Crystal Washburn, and then it'll go ahead and bring up our account to where they can set that up.
Okay, very good. That's www.simusa.org/give.
That's
right. And you want to do a search for Dr. John Washburn. And that's Sudan Interior Missions, but they don't call themselves that anymore because they're all over the world today.
Yep. 65 different countries now.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Well, it's a blessing to see the kingdom of God go
all around the globe. And God is using people like you, ordinary people like you, raised in little homeschool homes in Fort Collins, Colorado, Fort Morgan, Colorado.
Fort Morgan, yep, yep.
to bring about his kingdom all over the world. And the, one of the delights of my life is to be out there on the mission field and to visit some of these mission fields and to interact with these missions, because it's great to know that even though there may be some negative things happening in America, the kingdom of God is still going everywhere.
Absolutely.
The energy is strong. And I appreciate the fact that he has called young men like you, John, to that kingdom work out there on the frontiers of God's kingdom. It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Yep. It's definitely an honor to know that, you know, God can work through us to be able to reach other people, you know, and help meet their needs.
Amen. So. Amen. And may that vision continue to proliferate everywhere, mm-hmm. wherever there are people listening, and hopefully some young people listening right now, and you're just touching their hearts as well with this message, that they themselves can be involved somewhere.
Absolutely. And if anybody ever has any questions, they're always welcome to contact us as well, too, either by email or on Facebook as well.
Okay. So. Very good. Well, folks, again, it's www.simusa.org/give to get in contact with Dr. John Washburn. John, thank you so much for joining us in Generations.
Thank you for having me.
And folks, you can interact with the radio program by emailing host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.